Welcome to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, bringing Claudio coast to coast and the Speakeasy to your doorstep.
That's the idea. And that, of course, folks, is Audrey Layden, my co-host speaking.
And this is, we've opened the doors here of the Speakeasy to invite you all to come in and come as you are. We won't tell anybody.
Kick back, relax.
Find a seat, get comfortable in the place where you're always welcome and can always expect the best.
We'd like to hope so. You can even get naked for all we care.
Yeah, we won't tell a soul.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to be talking to my good friend, Captain Don Punka, again in a little while. He's going to call in around about 10:10, catching up with him on what it is like to be an older sea captain still out there getting himself on the ocean. He's just built himself a website, so I want to hear what he has to say about that.
But yeah.
He's putting a few more hooks in the water to get captain's gigs, and God knows the guy does everything.
Great.
He's got he's licensed to run a 60,000 ton ship on down to just luxury yachts. So he's going through a processing of different licensing, which would be an interesting thing to hear about.
Yeah, yeah.
To get validated by all these other folks. I want to acknowledge the historic Carolina Theater of Durham, which is currently undergoing quite a bit of repair and remodeling of the old theater, basically just bringing it up to spec. Back into the way that it's supposed to be, that it originally was. I think last time I went in there, they had scaffolding all over the place, so they're really, really doing the renovations this time.
When
I think this is the third time.
When do they expect that'll be done,
do you know? I'm thinking by or before September.
All right.
So, yeah, I'm going to go by there this afternoon just to drop in and say hello. But want to thank them for sponsoring Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater here on WCOM 103.5 FM. What's happening with your little building project?
Well, before we talk about that, let's see what you're doing while you're sort of the Carolina Theater has let you go out and play a little bit more.
Earn my keep elsewhere, you mean?
Yes. Well, you know, to explore other things. And you've got something coming up in July.
July 23rd. Hopefully it's going to be a big party. So far the response has been wonderful, but, you know, I won't believe it until I see it all. But we're going to be at BMF Tool and Die in Broadway, which is half Tool and Die workshop and half performance space for a bunch of legendary bluegrass artists. Mm-hmm. And they're going to join me in performing some of my work. But the main idea behind it is to do an art sale. I'm promoting all my abstract art and giving a 30% discount. Mm-hmm. And sort of come party, get some art, and listen to a show.
Summer Tales and Other Delights. And this is at 2901 Broadway Road, Broadway, North Carolina. And you can go to claudioarts.com to find out more about it.
Yes, you can.
Yes.
There's nothing on my website about it, but you can contact me and I can certainly give you the full scoop. And at some point, I'm going to put that flyer out again. The main premise...
Bob has some help in...
Bob, who is the president of the Apex Arts Council, actually put the flyer together.
Right.
So that language is... Let me see that.
It says the Apex Art Council presents.
Yes. Apex Art Council presents art sale and performance... an art sale and performance event. Art, music, yarn spinning, and fun. And so on. All artwork will be discounted by 30%. So if anyone's interested in Picasso-esque type of art, that's my game. That's what you can come for. And we're also going to have...
Ronnie Brown and a host of additional musicians. So anyway, sounds good.
And Ronnie Brown's been on the show with his bluegrass album. And of course, they still have their jams every Monday night, so I'm hoping to appeal to some of that audience as well.
Yeah.
Get thee over there. We're opening from... it'll be from 1 o'clock to 8 o'clock. I think it's on a Saturday.
And your performances will be at 3, 5, and 7?
You got it.
All right.
Yeah. I won't tie people down too long. Just get up there and do something with the bluegrass musicians and then...
Neat. Super neat.
Go back to peddling the art.
Okay.
But anyway, now back to you. What's the story on the house?
I haven't done a thing.
Okay, well, that covers that.
So that's
Thank
it.
You.
Except to think to myself, I need to refocus my energies and get back to making that project move.
That's kind of why you're doing it the way you're doing it, so you can't take your time. Yeah. When the money comes in, that's when you make the
Absolutely,
next move.
Absolutely, because this thing is going to be no debt attached to it.
Thankfully, that's where I am. I may not be in debt, but I'm trying to... make my living as an artist now, so it's a good thing I'm out of debt. If I had to pay rent right now, I'd have to hold a job somewhere.
Right.
So I'm glad I own my place, my space in the wilderness.
It's a gift to be able to do that.
Truly
it really is.
Well, I think we have a PSA coming up from one of my favorite people, Peter Tosh. And I'm not going to add anything to this. I'm going to let Peter say it for himself.
Okay, here we go.
size it. Legalize it, yeah, yeah. And I will advertise it. Some call it campy. Some call it the weed. Some call it marijuana. Yeah. Some of them call it ganja. Never mind, got to legalize it. And don't criticize it. I will advertise it. Singers smoking and players of instrument too. Legalize it, yeah, yeah. That's the best thing you can do. Is smoking. Judges smoking. Even the lawyer too. So you got to legalize it. And don't criticize it. I will advertise it. It's good for the flu. Good for asthma. Good for tuberculosis. Even humara combo. Don't criticize it. Legalize it, yeah, yeah. I will advertise it. Birds eat it. Ants love it. Fowls eat it. Goats love to play with it. So you got to legalize it. And don't criticize it.
There we
is
are.
This is Captain Punka.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, hello there, my dear lady.
So good to talk with you. I'm glad we're getting so much into this Peter Tosh tune. I almost didn't see the thing flashing that the call was coming in.
I don't know if you had a chance to hear it, Don, but we were playing Peter Tosh with his little musical PSA about legalized marijuana.
Don't criticize
yeah,
it.
I've heard a rumor that someplace up in that area that's kind of almost the theme song.
Well, years and years and years ago, there was a cover on, I think it was on Time magazine, And it was a takeoff on that Grant Wood picture of the farmer and his wife with the pitchfork.
Yeah, right, right.
Only instead, this was a woman and a man standing with a pitchfork. They both had like ski masks on. In the back was this whole big marijuana field, and it was the new North Carolina crop or something like that.
Anyway,
I don't know if that's the case today.
The new economy. Well, good morning to you, Captain.
Good morning.
We were just explaining to everybody out there that the Carolina Theater shut down for $1 million worth of renovations. They're basically restoring the theater to its former opulence back in the 20s. And
It was a theater project that could be money well spent. If it's a federal project, that means they're going to put a new front door on it.
Yeah, right. Yes, I'm going to leave that one alone.
I don't know. I think we could go with that one.
Probably so. We could go to some places people don't expect. How is life in Fort Pierce?
Well, if you've ever listened to Garrison Keillor and Lake Wobegon, Fort Pierce is kind of like Lake Wobegon. it's a little slow, and the people live pretty much, the older folks that have been born and raised here, and there's many of them. This is one of the few places in Florida where it's not uncommon to have some young lady sit there and say, yeah, I was born and raised right here in Fort Pierce. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're getting a little feedback on your phone. You're calling from a cell, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Okay. We're just going to have to deal with it. That's okay. It's just a little bit of
a little echo?
Not so much an echo, as just a little raspy. But that's okay. We can handle it.
That's the sea talking. That's the sea coming
might
in.
Might be coming from the captain and not the phone. That's right.
No, I was sitting right next to one of those new light bulbs, and sometimes those have electrical interference.
That could be.
So I shall move slightly.
All right, then. I heard I was explaining to Audrey earlier that you built yourself a website, basically putting more hooks in the water to get yourself back out to sea, which from what I understand you're sort of doing off and on anyway.
Yeah, I am doing it off and on, but unfortunately it's been more off than on. And I've got to get that back up to speed, because it's getting to where my job approach is to talk to somebody and say, you don't really need anybody here, do you?
Well, that is not,
for
come
some
on,
reason,
Captain
that
Don,
doesn't
that's
seem to get many positive replies.
I'm going to introduce you one more time to the folks tuning us in. This is WCOM 103.5 FM, Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, and today we're interviewing, for the second time, my best friend, Captain Don Punka, and he's calling in out of Fort Pierce. Sea Captain, as authentic as you're ever going to get, and you've got him here on WCOM, so I just want to set you guys up for that. And, of course, right now we're going through the frustrations of what it is to have become an older person, an older man, and still trying to stay on the waters. Because my interpretation of you has always been that, you do fine being on land, but that's not your natural birth.
No, it's really not. You know, people ask me, they say, well, what were you when you were a kid? And I says, well, I was a farm kid. And they said, farm kid? And I says, yeah. I said, I grew up with a funny bit of eyesight. I says, I was so used to staring a mule right straight in the butt, I started getting cross-eyed. But I finally got away from that, you know. My horizons expanded.
Nicely expanded, I'm sure.
That's another one for funnel vision.
What is your website? You mentioned the website.
There's any number of ways to reach me, but the website itself was actually set up on the www.yachtdeliverycaptain.net.
Okay.
But they can also get me at just CaptainDonPunka.com. In many different ways it'll kick over. But the actual, if they can't find it any other way, well, then it's yachtdeliverycaptain.net.
Okay.
Run down your qualifications for us.
I just want, captain is spelled all the way out, right?
Yes, on the internet, on that website it is, right?
Okay. Good. Writing it down.
Qualifications. Well, let me see.
Well, just for anyone that that's listening right now, that's got a yacht in mind for you. Let's hope they're out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I run everything unless it has oars and I'm expected to take and pull on them. Then I right. say no, if it doesn't have a motor on it, I don't want to run it.
Yeah,
but I've run I've run Gulf oil supply vessels, you know, up to not very big, maybe 125, 135 feet. I run yachts to a little over 200 feet. I've run gambling ships that were 231 feet on up. I run about five or six of those.
You know, and, I'm gonna interrupt you for a moment. I remember when you were running that oil rig. You gave me a phone call and said, "Hey, can any way you can get your tail over here? I need to be able to carry a conversation with somebody on board."
yeah. The conversation levels were somewhat stinted. It was the element that the fellows would be sitting around the dining table and talking to one another, and they'd say, "Well, what are you and the old woman going to do so that you hit the lotto?" Well, we've talked about that a lot. We've been thinking we're gonna buy us a big double wide, and then we're gonna buy the kids a couple, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I'd sit there and I'd say, "Excuse me, you actually have some type of aspirations that you're gonna win the lotto?"
Uh-huh.
And they'd look at you like you're an idiot and say, "Well, yeah."
Well, yeah, I'm buying the tickets.
Yeah, I said, "Well, so much for that."
Yeah. There goes the conversation.
Yeah.
So continue on. I didn't mean to stop, but I just remembered that time.
Kind of jump in there and say, did you get from watching the hindquarters of a mule out to sea?
Well, I ended up going to Chicago. My folks had left, and I'd run away to North Dakota for a while to take and decided I wanted to be a cowboy. And
how old were you then?
I got out in North Dakota. I worked on a ranch out there for a while. I think there's some 27, 28,000 acres, and there must have been at least three trees on that whole damn thing. there was nothing between us and the North Pole in the wintertime except some barbed wire.
Mm-hmm. And how old were you then? Were you 12?
No, I must have been 14, 15.
Okay.
14, I guess, something like that. Yeah, I was getting to be an old settled fellow by
uh-huh.
then.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So
you
and
say
I ended
you've...
up in Chicago for a while, and along came the Korean War, and like I tell all the girls in a bar, and I said, and I enlisted in the Marines. I said, of course, I was just a little kid at the time, you know. But
so you were,
ended up
you were
doing
a Marine.
The Korean thing. Say again?
You were a Marine.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Did the... Like a lady said to me, she says one time, she says, "You know, I really don't have any problem in listening to you for a bit and understanding this ultimate authority thing. You were a drill instructor in the Marine Corps, you were a cop, and then a boat captain. What is there to not understand?" And I said, "Well, yeah, you know,
you
just
like
the old drill instructor says, you know, he says, I'm not always right, but by God, I ain't ever wrong." Yeah.
So how long were you in the Marines?
Counting the reserve time, 3 years, 5 months, and 4 days.
Sounds like you might have been glad to get out.
I'm sure he was.
Yeah, I was one of those that nowadays I would refer to him as a young man with an attitude adjustment problem.
So you took it to the police force.
Yeah, right. That was a brilliant thing to do, you know.
And then the first time somebody... tossed you in the water, you wound up on a boat. Was that it?
Oh, then I... Yeah, I'm sorry. Getting back to the question that you asked. Yeah, I was in and out of the three different police departments, and in between police departments, I got to know some people who worked on boats and on charter fishing boats.
Right.
And so I started off as a mate doing just to help somebody out, actually. And then I realized, I really like this.
Mm-hmm.
So then when I quit my last police department, which was back in 65, I moved to the Bahamas, 63.
Mm-hmm.
Then I moved to the Bahamas, and I was security chief of Lucayan Beach Hotel and Casino over there, and there was a fishing fleet that was right in front of the hotel. And I knew one of the captains and then got to know all the rest of the guys, and one day the manager comes up and he says, "Don, you can run a boat, can't you?" And, "Oh yeah, I'd never run a boat in my life."
I was like that.
And he says, "Well," he says, the captain on the Little Jimbo just got drunk and quit." And he says, "How about coming in here to run this boat?" So I did. And that was in something like January of 65. And I've been on boats ever since.
Couldn't find your way off. Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'll never forget that first. I still remember well the first few days. You know, I could get off the dock all right, but 4 hours out there fishing. And the whole time I was out there, I said, "Now, what the hell am I going to do with this thing when I get back to the dock?" But I managed to blunder along and blunder through it. Then guys came up and said, let me give you some tips, Jeff, on how to dock it."
And that's funny because I remember in the Caribbean, there were sea captains that would actually ask you to dock their lengthy boats because you were known as one of the best dockers around.
Yeah, it just shows you how time changes things, right?
It does. Yeah, you're bringing in these small hotels up to a dock, and, you know, you've got to land these suckers just right, or you're going to eat the side of the boat.
Yeah.
I know so if it's got a lot of steel rub rail, you end up eating the docks up, and they get real testy about that.
No doubt.
So it sounds like you really found your way to where you should have been all along.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was married to a lady who was a bona fide psychic, and through her, I met a number of other psychics, and some of them, for whatever people believe in it or not, but mm-hmm. then others were into prenatal age regression, or pre-life, mm-hmm. pre-this life type thing, mm-hmm. and everybody that ever talked to me said, "You know, you've been around to see through many lifetimes."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I says, "Well, that explains why I've got such an affinity for what I do, I guess."
Right. So somewhere inside,
and the fact that I always felt like I had as many people that are out on the water all the time feel like they have a guiding spirit or a spirit guide.
Mm-hmm.
And mine we named Clifford, and there was many unexplained things that happened to me during my days at sea.
Uh-huh.
So you and I had quite a few conversations about Clifford.
Oh, yeah. Anybody that's the least bit sensitive, and they're particularly when we were on the, where you spent some time on the Elegante.
Mm-hmm. We had some dire warnings from Clifford, as a matter of fact.
I even wrote a short story in verse that had to do with Clifford and a real happening that happened. But
you got that with you, because one of the ideas today was to have you read some of your poetry that you wrote back in those days, and then maybe Audrey and I'll toss in some of our own as we proceed. But before you do that, I want to have you finish your qualifications, because I rudely interrupted you there.
I think I did too.
We both did. It was her.
Well, let me see. I can sum it up real well.
All right.
A U.S. Coast Guard license, which is called a 1600-3000. That means it's up to 1,600 tons for anything that's U.S. registry and 3,000 tons for anything that's international or foreign registry. And then behind that it says oceans, which means that I've got celestial qualifications. It says that I can run any vessel up to 3,000 tons anywhere on any ocean in the world. And then I had a British master's license, which was up to 3,000 tons, and a Panamanian master's license that says I could run things up to 3,000 tons. And I'm expecting in the mail from our Coast Guard within about another 6-7 days, I should get back a master of towing. And then this will enable me to take and operate
tugboats,
either push boats or the actual tugboats pulling on a long cable out in the blue water, mm-hmm. the open water. So
that's an impressive array.
Do just about anything that floats. All I need is somebody to sit there and say, "For God's sakes, put him back to work."
Yes. And you are one that actually, like you said, you have celestial navigation. So if your GPS breaks down, unlike most of these cats that are out there today, you'd still know how to find your way.
Yeah, except for the fact that nowadays everything has got 2 and 3 GPSs on it, so when I get on anything nowadays, I don't even bother to bring a sextant along.
Oh, goodness. Okay, so well, you might still want to keep a small one in your back pocket.
Just in case. Yeah.
Just in case we have one of those crossings that you and I had together where things were almost, you know, pretty...
Well, you know, you, when those UFOs come across, they're going to knock out all the electrical equipment anyway, so...
That's true.
You
want
to...
Speaking of UFOs, let's take a trip back to the Bermuda Triangle. I think you and I were talking on the deck of, I believe it was the Elegante. How big was the Elegante back then? A little over 100 foot?
A little over 100 feet, yeah.
Yeah, because I know she's been extended now. But we were having a conversation just leaning on the railing, and there was this light that came up beneath us that was about the size of a football field. And you and I were just kind of looking at each other, wondering what the heck that could be. We knew there was no equipment. We're talking about back in 76 or 77. There was no equipment that had no technology that had that kind of light. It was just one solid light under us.
It came up from under the sea.
It stayed under the boat. It traveled under us.
Yeah.
In the Devil's Triangle. We didn't know what to make of it. Didn't bother us, but we were really curious about, you know, what that might be.
That's been observed a number of times. I forget where we were at that time, but I know in the Bahamian waters that
same type
of an illusion has happened to a number of people, and lots of weird things that happen over there. You know, like I can remember crossing the banks between Bimini and Norwest Light heading toward Nassau, and all of a sudden you look down and the compass starts to slowly turn.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at it, pretty soon it's making 360-degree turns, just as steady as could be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And somebody say, well, what do? I say, well, you look behind you and make sure that you keep a straight wake. Then you look up and find a cloud and kind of steer by the clouds. And,
mm-hmm.
And in about 10 minutes, all of a sudden, the compass settled right back down, put it on its 92-degree heading, and we kept on moving the Norwest Light.
Almost like a magnetic field, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's so many weird things that happen over that particular part of the Bahamas that there are an awful lot of people that feel like Atlantis is probably underneath there, that the part of the Bahamas and the Bahama banks are part of Atlantis. And of course there's things off of Bimini where there's some columns, and Mother Nature just doesn't make nice round columns put on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
There's some what looks like cobblestone roadways, and they just go off right straight into very deep water. It'll be interesting. Someday we'll find out.
Well, I'd like to know when they open up, because I'm ready to go.
Yeah, right. See, we can't set up a little radio station.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
exactly. This is W. Blub, 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 blub.
Yeah. I was going through some papers this morning. How long ago was it that you wrote Seafarers?
Oh, man. Probably goes all the way back to, I want to say, 77? Maybe.
Well, I found a piece of paper here where I wrote, when you were first publishing it, that I wrote an intro to it.
Read that,
and
please.
Okay. I just entitled it Claudio. This is, when I first met you in South Florida, you were a chef on a private yacht. A chef you were, and then a poet. Your time, it could be bought. When a chef was needed, you worked on yachts. Many a time you worked for me. At times, you even worked shore on some island to be near the sea. 20-some-odd years have gone by. Life has changed as we knew it. You're still a chef, but you act, tell stories, and are widely known as a poet. There are times I read what you write, and I imagine my influence I see. At least I hope my life has marked yours, because I know you have influenced me. Now you are somewhat landlocked on a boat you cannot be, but by assembling the writings in Seafarers, many others can feel the sea. Best wishes, Captain Don Punk.
Thank you, and I have my own copy of that.
That
is beautiful. And that's going to be, I'm actually at some point going to incorporate a much larger work, still incorporating Seafarers, and I'm going to include both of our writings in that as well as anything else. So that's still a work in progress, as well as the novel that you and I are collaborating on, which is greatly inspired by creating characterizations behind Seafarers.
Yeah.
So I thank you for that, and in response, you've definitely influenced my life, and that was what I was going to see for, and like I said, you were the portal there. I explained that in the Captain poem that I dedicated to you. So, yeah, I think it wasn't just an influence in my life. It was a lifetime influence.
We all have a few. Sometimes we don't even realize it, but we all have a few influences.
Oh, yes.
Stick with us forever.
Up until I met you, it was Jack London. That was just theoretical. I was halfway through the Sea Wolf, and I was at sea. I'm sorry. I was saying when I first met you, I was halfway through reading the Sea Wolf, and I was inspired to go and explore the sea. So I never finished the book. I went straight to living the life.
You know, we were talking. While I was looking at that piece of paper, I realized this other one was sitting here. When I was talking about Clifford and a true story.
Yes.
If you've got a moment, I'd like to read that.
I'd like to hear that.
And it says, "This is a true story. On this boat, many odd things happened. We lost an engine after reaching calm water and after fighting seas so bad that the crew were told to try to nap in the main salon in life jackets, just in case. The seas are 15 to 20 feet tall and so steep that the props would come out of the water when we would be on the front end of a wave. Had we lost the engine while in this sea condition, I would not be here to write this today. After another rough trip of 4 days and nights, we lost the steering system 20 feet from the dock. Many dangerous things have happened, but always right when I got into safe waters. This story is just one of many. The yacht, she lay in the Nassau sun." Excuse me, I want to sit up and get a better position
here.
That's okay. "The yacht, she lay in the Nassau sun, the varnish shiny, the hull clean and white. Enjoy the sun and get some rest, for we're off to home with the tide tonight. Set the course for Great Stirrup Light, that's where we make our first turn. Pull the anchor up, put the throttles down, between now and first light, there's diesel to burn. They got to port, the Great Stirrup, made a turn to the port. The sea for a change was dead flat, not even a ripple of any sort. A new course was laid for Great Isaac's Light, the light you'll see by morning, just before the end of night. The captain, he went to his room to sleep the rest of the night, and the mate and the engineer were on watch. The captain was sure it would be all right. But a long night's sleep for the captain, it was not meant to be. For his door, it was kicked open, but there was no one there to see. The captain, he raced to the wheelhouse with a sense of impending doom. The sea was flat, the night was dark. Some small, fleecy clouds hid the full moon. Then the clouds, they moved, and the moon shined bright. 300 yards ahead were rocks that could be easily seen in this light. Quick, 90 degrees to the starboard, run about 7 miles out. Then reset your course for Great Isaac's Light. If you need me again, just shout. But how did you know the trouble was coming, and who kicked open your door? How could you know that those rocks lay ahead? Ahead there was trouble in store. Oh, I was asleep and sleeping sound when Clifford kicked open my door. The crew, they looked at each other and only asked one question more. Who the hell is Clifford?"
That's a great story, and I remember being told that before, and I remember some similar experiences with Clifford when you and I were on the same boat.
Oh, yeah. There were so many things that happened on that boat. This tells you how far back it is. One young deckhand, whose mother brought him to me because he was a troubled youth at 16 or 17.
Mm-hmm.
And his mother was a psychic, and I knew her quite well, and she had said, you know, can you take him along? I can't do anything with him. His father's too old, and so forth. Long story, but anyway, he came to work. And I saw him just recently, and we were talking about old times and so forth. And I said, you know, how old are you now? And he says, 54. I thought, yeah, it has been a while. But because his mother was a psychic, he was very sensitive. He didn't actually get into the practicing of psychic trends or psychic anything at all.
Gotcha.
But he was quite sensitive. And I remember he used to tell other deckhands, hey, if you got to go anywhere on a boat, go with Captain Don. He's got a spirit that rides with him.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I heard that from many folks, too.
Yeah,
Yeah. And I ended up having a couple that followed me on land. I think I remember telling that story when I was we were in dry dock, and I was renting a room right off A1A. I forget the name of the motel. There had been a couple of girls had been attacked by some enormous fella earlier that night. Squad cars were all over the place when I got home that night. I was on the ground floor. They were on the upper level. And this big guy just pretty much busted their door in, walked over, smacked them around, stole what he wanted, and walked off. And I just sort of got that story. You know, in Florida, they had the glass shutter doors, which are not really much for safety if somebody wants to come walking through. And I had this spirit in my room. I just named him Charlie while I was writing the story Under a Primitive Moon. He was very present. And it's the best way that I can describe the presence is if you close your eyes and somebody moves a hand in front of your eyes, that's kind of how you would sense Charlie. And that's, to me, that's how you'd sense any spirit. You can sense a presence. You can look right through it. You can't see it. But it's as clear as day in that other respect. So close your eyes and run your hand in front of your eyes. And that's how Charlie was. And Charlie... On this particular night, it was 4 or 5 hours later, I was fast asleep. And all of a sudden, Charlie just starts going around my bed. I can sense him on both sides. When I flipped over, I sensed him on the other side. And I finally said, Charlie, stop this, or I am going to find a way to exercise you. Just, you know, cut this out. I need some sleep. And I just sort of opened my eyes, and the entire door frame was covered by a presence outside, sort of twisting the door to come into my room. And he was probably real close to getting it open because I'd been arguing with Charlie for a little while. And when I saw the presence, I just started shouting some obscenities like I had a weapon, and the sucker left. But God knows what would have happened if I hadn't woken up.
Yeah.
All I had was a spatula.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to flip you, honey.
Yes, that was my chefing days. I wasn't ready for combat. But I had him believing I had a shotgun. I said, come on, take another step. Let's bust some glass. But yeah, so many
odd things, and of course, if when you get into those kind of conversations with absolute non-believers, you know, you just see that look in their eye, like, sure. And how much did you have to drink?
Yeah, right.
But that's their problem.
Right. That's a spirit of another kind, right?
Yeah, I got my spirits. You got yours.
I'd have to say, you and I did plenty of that other spirit.
Yeah.
We had some great drinks together.
Well,
I'm gonna dedicate this show just to you and your poetry, because I just don't think there's any other subject that we can bring up to go with this maritime experience we're having. So, anything else you want to pick on, especially things that you and I can both relate to, I asked you to have your writings available. So, what else do you have in mind?
The only other, I picked out a couple here that were just relative to what I thought our conversations might be here this morning. So,
I'm glad you brought up Clifford.
Yeah, it's hard for me to discuss anything about being at sea and without bringing up Clifford.
Oh, okay.
It's such a part I don't discuss him with on interviews
or no.
applications, but
yes.
Because they'll just send you on down the dock.
Excuse me, Captain, which one are we paying, you or Clifford?
Right. Yeah, right.
Clifford says that I would do you a very good job.
Yeah. Yeah, I wrote one here that you probably remember well. It was after one of our winters down in the Caribbean. I just called it Partings of Men.
We're talking about back in the 70s.
Yeah. Since another long winter is over, of this I am damn glad. I'm more than happy it's over, except one thing makes me sad. Unlike our northern cousins who suffer in ice and snow, my winter was spent in paradise. At least that's what I'm told. In the lovely Caribbean waters is where my winter was spent, yachting around the various isles with people who cared not where they went. But sad I said I was, and sad I really am, for as the season is over, I will lose most all my men. My profession is yacht captain. Large yachts are what I run. I entertain the rich and famous, or whoever can afford the sun. Many a crew I've hired, and some good men I've had, but never a crew who worked as well, or who's leaving will make me as sad. Some have been a whole year now, some not quite as long, but I'll hear them and see them often with their crazy stories and silly songs. Like a bunch of young brothers, they work full of good spirits and happy and bold. And it makes me think of the seasons gone past, and I realize I'm getting old. They work like hell, this crew of mine, 100 hours a week and more, After work, the ladies they chased. I only wish someone had kept score. All the ladies they chased from St. Martin, from St. Thomas to St. Martin. Many's the heart they caused to beat fast. More than a few were broken. Guidance and advice I gave them, even when it wasn't sought. I hope my efforts were not in vain. All my lessons are not soon forgot. Now they'll go their separate ways with hardly a look behind. And with a tear in my eye, I'll see them go, for like sons, they will remain in my mind.
That's one of my favorites. I remember when you wrote it.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really love my crew.
Well, you were known as one of the few captains in the area that actually stood up for his crew and didn't kiss the butt of the rich that owned the vessels, which most of them did.
Yeah, they did. And I also, one of my claims to fame was the fact that I was the only captain that I knew of that would bring the same crew back in the spring that I took down in the fall.
No doubt. No, you definitely had a loyal crew membership. And the most amazing thing was all the personal letters you'd get from them. Just to keep you updated. What was it? I forget the guy's name, but he said he hadn't been home for a week and he was up on the roof squeegeeing the windows and, you know, rinsing down the house like you do a yacht.
Yeah.
I forget his name, but he was a character.
Yeah.
I think he went back to the Midwest and he gave a full report. He said he had all this boat energy now from having to clean the boat every day that he couldn't stop doing it, so he started cleaning the house.
Yeah. That was probably a fellow named Mark. Mark had some horrible health problems. Mark was running a motorcycle shop in Indiana, and he had a heart problem, and he went, and they said, that, oh, well, we've got to do an angioplasty and put in a stent. And they went in, and, of course, when they do this, they run this guide wire all the way up your femoral artery.
Mm-hmm.
And then do all the work. Well, they did all the work, and they sewed him up. And unfortunately, they forgot to take the wire out.
Oh, God.
And the wire, within about 2 days, caused a MRSA infection right at the heart valve.
Explain what is that MRSA infection?
That's this flesh-eating infection.
Oh, God.
That kills many people because they just can't get it stopped in time. But they did manage, but they had to replace the heart valve, and they did keep him alive.
Jeepers.
And but then he was virtually a veggie by that time, and he was in the hospital. Oh God, must have been a year. And
wow.
he dragged his feet and dragged his feet and didn't have good advice, and he waited too long. The statute of limitations ran out. He couldn't sue anybody. And when you first hear it, they say the hospital left a wire up there like that. So, yeah. And the good ending of the story is it's been almost 5 years now, and he's getting better. He's living in Orlando.
Goodness.
And is recovering. He can finally drive a car now, and he doesn't have memory lapses hardly ever anymore, and he's coming right along. I went up to see him not too long ago, and so you know, little help. Little help from above.
Yeah, that's amazing what goes on in some people's lives, but that's a bit of a horror story. Jeepers.
Yeah. But I'm going to, unless I can think of something else or you think of something else you want, I kind of have ended, now I've got to revitalize my life and career by getting out there and finding another place to start over again. But when I was somewhat in my doldrums and sitting there thinking that, well, it's all over with, I wrote one called Old Captains.
Ah, that sounds promising.
Yeah. It's there that he sits at the bar all alone. He drinks by himself. Most of his friends are gone. The sparkle in his eyes has faded. The red in the beard has turned white. Nights in the bars are fewer now, but this one may be a long night. Nights like these he drinks alone. He thinks of times gone past. Days he knows are numbered now. Why must they go so fast? When finally the days have gone, his ashes go to the sea. They'll probably be carried by strangers. Friends or family you'll not see. The family he so sorely ignored during his earthly stay, why should they be bothered now, even if they knew it was his burial day? Many a crewman has left him. Most of them shook his hand. Captain, if it wasn't for this girl I love, right by your side I would stand. Then they took their jobs ashore and families they did raise. Now and again they would see other crew laugh and drink and sing the captain's praise. Remember when he said he could outdrink us, could outrun us, and outfight us all? And that when we would have to stop and rest, he'd be ready to play when the ladies had come to call. I wonder where he is today, says an ex-mate while holding his son. Hell, he's on an island someplace, with two girls, some grass, and a bottle of rum. Many of the old crew are surrounded by a family and a happy home, not knowing their old captain sits at a bar all alone.
Ow.
Yeah.
Oh.
We're going to have to do something about that one.
Yes.
there's a song that made me think of by Jimmy Buffett called Nobody Talks to the Captain No More. Great piece of work. But no, I fully understand. And, you know, back in those younger days, you were the one that was up to all that competitiveness. I mean, I think there's many a crew that learned their whole idea of interacting with women by taking advice from the captain, because he always had a fine dame on board.
Yeah. Uh-oh. So you've been a nefarious influence on a whole generation.
Yes. It was something he didn't need to teach me, but I did take a few examples.
Yeah.
Now we know why.
Yeah, sure. Learn from the best.
Yeah, those are, you know, you get reminiscent of the old days, and people sit there and say, what's that old fella doing sitting there at the bar with that grin on his face?
Yeah. Well, they're
thinks about the old days.
They're really missing something, not breaking into a conversation with you, because they have no idea of the stories they could embark upon there.
Yeah,
that was
yeah.
one of my favorite things about you and I hanging out together. I mean, we would literally start. I remember one time we hadn't seen each other in 2 or 3 years, and we connected at your Fort Lauderdale Marine Services in Fort right off A1A, and I had a girlfriend with me, and she sort of took off with Phyllis, and you and I ran conversations from 3 o'clock in the afternoon until about 4:30, 5 o'clock the next morning.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Just one conversation into another, and drinks, etc.
Of course, we spilled a couple of drops of alcohol during that.
Yes, 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 yes. There was that.
You sure you were talking that whole time?
yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, that's the nice thing about two people talking. See, then when you stop talking long enough, you can always pour another drink. Yeah.
That's it. Come up with an excuse for the space in between.
Yeah.
Now
things are moving along right now. I'm hopefully that if I get this, when everything should be positive. But
yeah, let's think of that.
Lord, when you're dealing with the Coast Guard, always say if. But. If I get this Master of Towing license, which I fully expect to get, it's not necessarily going to have me back in the employment bracket, but it opens the door to probably 45% to 50% of the jobs that exist for people like me would be in the towing business, and so it just opens a ton more doors.
Wonderful.
And things are slowly getting better. It may be hard for a lot of people to believe. It's hard for me to believe. I'm living in a county where we have an official unemployment rate of 14 point something and an unofficial that's crowding 20%. So things are really slow here. But I know that I talked to a friend of mine who's working as an engineer on a oil field supply boat out of Morgan City, Louisiana. And he said he went to work there a year ago. And it's a small company with 7 boats. And he said there was only 2 of them that were working.
Goodness.
And he called the other day, and he says all 7 are working, and it was long contracts. Another friend of mine is a tugboat captain, and he called and said that a year ago he was out of work for a short period of time, and he had a hell of a time in trying to find a job because he also was a little over 70, and nobody would hire him. This time he was on a boat that went to the yard to have $1 million refit of engines put in it, and the word got around that he was available. Companies were calling him with no solicitation, asking him to come to work.
Fantastic,
and
as it should be.
Well, yeah, he said one of the companies said, Captain, he said, we're 15 captains short.
Wow.
So there are jobs in that field, and I need to get out.
Well, like you and I discussed on the phone on the 4th of July when I dropped a bomb on you about being on the radio show again all of a sudden, there are so many, especially luxury boat captains, that because of the economy have pretty much given up the ghost. So there should be, hopefully, that opens up for the people that really just want to maintain that for a living.
Yes, you're right, but it still needs to take up the immediate surplus of captains that are available. But out of the 100% that were available, probably 20-25% have gone off to doing other things or retiring or whatever. So there's not quite as big a backlog as there was, and it's so in the boating field. And I just talked to my old friend Jan, who used to be my office manager and is now doing yacht documentation and building websites and so forth up in Omaha. But she said that some yacht brokers from the New England area were contacting her to document the vessels that they had recently sold, and they said that yacht boat sales were booming up in that area.
Hmm. Interesting.
So, and they haven't now in what, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever it is. So things in the boat field may be getting better.
Good. Well, I certainly hope so.
And it's either that or I need a benevolent widow that sits there and says, come on, Captain, let's you and I just take a run off to Panama.
There we go. Let me know when you do. I want a spot in the backyard to pitch a tent. Well, Captain, it's been an honor to have you on again.
Well, time just flies.
It does. Especially when you're running the conversation, because, I mean, there was really not much else to add to all these things you had to say. I'm just looking, and I realize it's 10:52. We cut off at about 10:55, so that
wow.
John Paul can get on. He's already sitting in the studio. But anyway, say what you want to say.
I have nothing to add. I'm fine. I just didn't realize how much time had gone by.
That's the art of good conversation. It just flies by.
All right, I'm going to let you for your sign-off. Audrey, it's a wonderful thing. I wish we had time to listen to you more instead of talking to you.
We'll arrange that.
This is fun. This is fun. It's fun to listen. Yeah.
Goodbye to all, and goodbye to all of your listeners.
Thanks for the stories, and we'll have you on again soon, and I'll be in touch even sooner than that.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Cheers. And this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater on WCOM 103.5 FM. That was just Captain Don Panka calling in from Fort Pierce, an authentic sea captain that can run just about any vessel there is. Pretty amazing. And the only thing that's holding him back these days is the fact that he's become an older man and an older sea captain. But I somehow think the tide is turning a little bit, because people really should want those with experience.
That's what I'm thinking. And that's one of the issues in today's economy is there had been so much laying off or petition, what do you call it, anyway, laying off older workers and letting the younger workers in because they could get them for less money. But then there was nobody around who knew how to do the job.
Or actually to really teach them.
Yes.
Yeah, they just
the older worker is becoming more valued, more understandably valued.
I would hope so, because that would certainly be an element of sanity for that particular industry.
Right. I mean, how do you pass that information on unless it's from someone who knows how?
Yeah. Talk to an old soul that doesn't need a GPS to make up his mind.
Right,
jeepers.
Right.
Anyway, so that's a tribute to Captain Don Panka, and I'm actually, at some point, I do hope to publish all of our works together, his writings and my own.
You're writing a novel together?
Yeah. Based greatly on Seafarers, because it was suggested moons ago that the stories in Seafarers were so interesting poetically that I should write a story about the character that created them, so sort of creating another me, but it's not going to be just me. It'll be fictional facts and factual fictions. But
get
I can
cracking.
I'm already up to chapter 3.
All right.
Yeah. And,
very good.
And Punker's my collaborator in that, and he's also my brain of what it takes to be a sea captain.
Right. Right.
Since I was only the chef on board.
Well, you know, when you get it all together, you can come on Carolina Bookbeat.
You got that right.
Absolutely.
I have no idea when I'll get it all together, but we can put some Peter Tosh back. Oh, no, actually, we're taking Peter Tosh along, so I'm going to go ahead and do the sign-off.
Okay.
For the Speakeasy, thank you for tuning us in, folks. The way we like to say it is You keep us tuned in, and we'll keep you turned on. This is Claudio, your host of The Speakeasy. On behalf of Audrey and myself, until next time, cheers.